Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Mem Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin from the Mishnah that you find at the upper third of Daf Memtes. Kayotze Bo, similar to the construction of our previous Mishnah, where it had been mentioned that upper signs will not be present unless there are already lower signs, but you could have lower signs before upper signs. We have the following examples of halachas, which have a similar construction. We have a note on the side of our Gemara under our Nosei Klali heading with the Mivneh, where we have a general topic, and a note that this lasts until Nun Aleph Omid Beis. There is a series of Sidra Shel Mishnayis Tachas Koteres Mishnosenu under the heading of our Mishnah Kayotze Bo, where you will see halachas featured beginning with the word Kol and the Yesh. It will become clear as we learn the Gemara, where the Simanu Kol Klal Be with the diamond, and the word the Yesh you will see with a double underline. Of course, this is a bit abstract, so we now turn to the Mishnah for the examples. Kayotze Bo, Kol Kli Cheres Shu Machnis, an earthenware vessel that has a hole in it. What is the hole size? The hole size is such that a liquid could enter it. Motzi, you can rest assured that that vessel will, that size hole will allow liquids to exit such a vessel. The issue of holes in earthenware vessels has relevance to whether or not the kli is subject to being mekabel tuma. Can it absorb tuma? On a very simple level, a vessel that is complete, that is whole, whole, that's complete, that will absorb tuma. It's subject to being mekabel tuma. However, if the vessel has a hole in it, hole, and it's as a result becomes dysfunctional, it will not be mekabel tuma. However, the size of the hole is that which is of significance to our current discussion. So the Mishnah says that an earthenware vessel that has a hole in it capable of liquid entrance, that size hole certainly will enable liquids that are in the vessel to drip out. The yesh, there is a possibility though of a hole, shemoitzi, the eino machnis. It's so small that things, that liquids could drip out of it, but liquids will not enter. Kol Aver, Shiesh Bo Tziporin Yesh Bo Etzem, a limb that, and specifically, we're dealing with what we call a sixth finger. Rashi calls Etz by Yaser, an extra finger. The realm of limbs in this discussion has relevance to the realm of Tumas Mace, a complete limb, even if it is lacking in size. It's less than a kezias. It has less than a kezias aleph quantity to it. Nevertheless, if it's considered a complete limb, it's capable of being metame tumas meis, even be'oil, by being under the same overhang, under the same roof with something else. That something else will mekabel tuma from this complete limb. So if there is an extra finger, the sixth finger, and it has a nail on it, a fingernail, you can rest assured that it has a bone in it. V'yesh, shiyesh bo'etzem, there is a possibility, though, of it having a bone, v'ein bo'tziporin, but doesn't have a nail on it. Before going on in the Gemara, we can glance at the Rashi. Kol Aver, Rashi says, Etzba Yisera, a sixth digit. Sheyesh bo Sipurin, Yesh bo Etzem, Vavi Aver Choshuv. And with the fact that it has a bone in it, also makes it into an important or significant limb, umetame ba'oil, and will communicate tuma by being under the same overhang. Afilu ein bo shior, even if it doesn't have the olive quantity size. De kaimolon, we have a principle, evorim ein lahem shior. Afilu pochus mikazayas minames, evorim, complete limbs don't necessitate having a quantity, and even less than the olive quantity will metame tumas mace. V'yesh, Rashi goes on, shiyesh bo etzem, chule. There are those that may have a bone in it, but no fingernail. Lo have aver im yaserasi. It wouldn't be considered a limb if it's a sixth digit. Avol eino shel yaseras, if it's a non-yaseras, if it's another finger. Afilu ein bo tziporen, aver hu umetame. If it's one of the regular fingers, and it doesn't have a fingernail on it, it would still be considered an aver. So that when we're talking about there are those that could have a bone without a fingernail in it, and it would not be considered because it's lacking the fingernail, that is true if you're dealing with the case of Yaseres, the sixth digit. Continuing in the Mishnah, Kol hametame medrus, metame tomei meis, any vessel that would be makabel tumas medrus, this is the tuma that's experienced when a zav or a zava sit on a chair or a bed, that is called a medrus, and that chair or bed that the zav or zava sat on has a high level of tumah, so much so that it would communicate tumah to people and vessels that come into contact with the medrus. So anything that could be makabel tumas medrus could be makabel tumas mace. The yesh, there are things, shemetame tome mace, the eno metame medrus, that would experience tumas mace if they're in the same room as a corpse, so the vessel will become tome, but if a zav or zova would sit on them, they would not become a medrus. And as we said just before, just to remind ourselves, medrus is that phenomenon where a vessel absorbs tuma to the level that it could then turn in turn metame odom and kalim. The Mishnah machnis, the Gemara. Let's correct ourselves. Machnis. This is a quote from the Mishnah. We saw a kli cheres that's machnis is motzi. Well, a kli that's machnis, a kli that has a hole in it that enables liquids to get into it. Posel lemei chatos, uposel mishum gistera. It's unfit to be used in the drawing of the water for the pora aduma ash, which is used eventually to sprinkle on people that are tomei meis to metire them. So a vessel that has a hole in it, that's machnis, it's a machnis size hole, it renders the vessel unfit for mei chatos, and it's also unfit, meaning it won't mekabel tuma as a gistera. A gistera is a shard. People, after an earthenware vessel breaks, there is a possibility that people will use the fragments of it, the shards, the pieces of it, as what we would call a coaster. Let's say an item that you place under a receptacle to catch any drippings. So something that has a hole in it, enabling liquids to get into it, would not be acceptable for the use in the mei chatos, nor would it be makabel tuma as a gistera. Motzi, if you have a vessel that's motzi mashke, that mashke will drip out of it but not enter it, kosher le mei chatos, though it has a hole in it, it's still fit for the mei chatos usage, uposel mishum gistera, but it won't be used, being that we're dealing with a shard that is dripping, people will throw it out, and it won't be of any gistera significance. The Rashi comments under the Dibur Masel Gistor and the wide lines under the Gemara, Hainu Shivrei Kli Cheres Huru'uyin L'malocha. These are pieces of a Kli Cheres of earthenware vessels that are still fit for something, for use. V'adayin Mekablim Tuma. They could still Mekabel Tuma. They could still absorb Tuma, even though they are remnants. They're the remains of a full Kli. Kidisanya B'Gemara Ne'elu Treifus. And the Rashi gives more background by quoting the Gemara from Chulin. Continuing in our Gemara, Omar Rav Asi, Shainin, we have an oral tradition, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, Kli Cheres Shi'uro B'Koines Mashke, an earthenware vessel, the minimum size hole to render it unfit would be a hole of koines mashke, which a hole that would allow liquids to enter it. That is the smallest hole that could possibly affect a complete vessel and its status. And as we saw before, if you have an earthenware vessel that has a hole size of koines mashke, it would render the vessel unfit for the use of the mei chatos. Volo omru moitzi mashke, the size known as motzi mashke, of a kli that drips only, but liquids would not enter it, that has significance elo l'inyan gistera bilvad. That has relevance only to the realm of the gistera. But in general, but other vessels, complete vessels, that happen to have this very small size hole in it, they remain as kalim and hence mekabel tuma. Only in the realm of a shard, of a piece that you may have been using up till now, and it developed a hole of moitzi mashke size, at that point we'll say that the shard is no longer capable of being mekabel tuma. Had it been a shard without any holes in it, so it would have been mekabel tuma because you were using it as a gistera, as a coaster. So the Gemara asks, my time, why is it that if the shard develops this motzi mashke size hole, do we say that it won't mekabel tuma anymore as a gistera? When we speak about something not mekabel tuma, means it loses its significance. Omer marzutra b'reidu Rav Nachman, mitfi she'ein oimrim, because people will not say, hove gistera le gistera. If you're using something already as a coaster, and now it has a hole in it and it's dripping, the only way for it to have any value would be if you bring another shard to place under this one. But people don't bring shards to protect shards. Once the shard develops a hole in it, people just toss it out. They throw it away. And that demonstrates to us that it has no more significance, and hence it's not going to be mekabel tuma. Before going any further in the Gemara, we should have read before, but it's always beneficial, even as a point of review, to glance at the side of your Gemara where you see the Nosei, the topic heading, hence the topic that we just learned, says, Nekev B'Kli Cheres, this is under our Nosei heading in the margin, a hole in an earthenware vessel. We have Motzi Mashke, Machnis Mashke, and then the topic we'll be dealing with now is Ketzad Boitkin. How do we check? How do we determine whether it's a hole the size of a Koines Mashke or not? So we now turn to the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, the Tanaic source which deals with this issue of checking it out. Ketzad Boitkin Kli Cheres Leida Im Nikev B'Koines Mashke Im Lav. How do we check out a vessel to know whether or not the hole in it is enough for Koines Mashke? So the Brisa answers, Yovi Arevo Mleya Mayim, you bring an Arevo, a bowl filled full of water, the Noisein Kedera Lesocha, and then you take your pot that is in question, this is the Kli Cheres pot that's in question, and you put it into the bowl full of water, Im Konsa Biyodua She Koines Mashke. If, as you press the bowl into the water, you notice that water enters the kedera, the kli cheres, so then it's koines mashke. It's a hole the size of allowing entry of liquid. The im lav, if nothing enters it, biodua shemoitzi mashke. So you should know that the hole that you may notice there, but it's only a moitzi mashke hole, it's not a koines size hole. Continuing on Omid Beis, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the method of checking we just mentioned, namely of pressing a vessel into a bowl of water. Rabbi Yehuda feels that by pressing the vessel in, you're in effect forcing water in, so that the hole might not be a koines mashke size, but by your applying pressure on the vessel into the water, pressing it into the water, liquids will enter, even though it's not really koines mashke otherwise. So how do you check to know whether it's koines mashke? So Rabbi Yehuda says, you take a bowl, the areva, and before you fill it up with any water, koifef ozne kedera lesocha, you flip over the kedera, the earthenware pot, onto its lid, so that the bottom of the pot is facing upwards. Umasif olea mayim, and then you fill up the larger outer bowl with water until the water level rises above the inverted klicheres. The im kaines, if at that point water enters it, so biodua shekaines mashke, then it's known that the hole in it is called kaines mashke size. The im lav, if it doesn't enter, biodua shemotzi mashke, that the hole, you may have noticed, is only motzi mashke in size and will not affect the kabbalah's tuma status of a regular kli. Oi, another suggestion. Shoifso al gabi ha'ur, you would take a pot, the earthenware kedera, and that has water in it, has liquid in it, put it on the fire. Im ha'ur ma'amida, biyadua shemoisi mashke, if when placing it on a fire, the fire keeps the liquid from dripping out, so then the size hole there is that is there is only moitzi mashke. It's a very, very small hole, and the fire interacting with the kli will keep the water from dripping out. The im lav, if the or is not mamida, but rather when the vessel is on the fire and liquids are dripping out, even though it's on the fire, biodua shemachnis mashke, you should know then that it has the machnis mashke size hole, the larger size hole. And as we said, because we know that because the fire is incapable of keeping the liquid from dripping out. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af loy shoifso agabi ha'ur, do not use this test for placing the kedera on the fire. Neshaur ma'amida, the fire will keep liquids inside even a nekev gadol, even a relatively speaking large type hole, so that the fire test isn't going to be revealing. Ela shoifso al gabi haremetz, but place the kedera, the earthenware pot with its that has the hole in it, place it on remets, hot coals. Im remets mamida, if the coals are capable of keeping the liquid from coming out, then biodua shemoitzi mashke, then you know that it's a very small hole, and it would be classified only as motzi mashke. V'im lav, if keeping it on the coals, stuff still does drip out, then biodua shekoines mashke. If you have a vessel that's dripping, drip after drip, then that too is a sign of its being large enough for mashke to enter. The Rashi says, this is also a checking. You have placed into the questionable vessel water and it started to drip after drip. That's a sign that its hole is large enough to be classified as a koines mashke. And as we said before, it would be unfit for mei chatos. Mai iko bein tanakama the Rebbe Yehuda. What is the underlying difference between the tanakama who suggested filling up a bowl first and then putting the kedera into it, versus Rabbi Yehuda who had said not to do that? Omar ula koines ayudeat chak iko binayu. Entrance through the chak, through pressure, will be a point of difference. According to the tanakama, that is called entrance, and hence it's called koines mashke. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if that's the only way for liquid to get in is by pressing it against the water that's in the areva, in that large bowl, that according to Rabbi Yehuda would not make it into a koines mashke. Kol eiver sheish bo tzipor v'chulei. the Gemara. Before we go further, the topic heading here is Eiver Sheyesh Bo Tziporen, a limb, in this case we're talking about fingers, that have a fingernail in it. Yesh Bo Tziporen, Mitame B'mago V'masi V'oil. If a finger has a bone, has a fingernail in it, so then it will communicate tuma through mago contact, masa through carrying or supporting it, and through overhang the oil. Yesh boi etzem v'ein bo tziporen. If, let us say, it does not have a nail on it, but it has a bone on it, or a bone in it, mitame b'mago v'masa v'eino mitame b'oil. So then, it's not significant enough to be considered an aver of a mace, so that it will still mitame through mago and masa, through contact and carrying, but it's not considered tumas mace in the classic sense of being metame be'ohel. Omar Rav Chisda, Dover Zer Rabbeinu HaGadol Omro, HaMokum Yeh Be'ozro. Rav Chisda says that that the following was stated by the great Rav, and Rav, we mean specifically the Amora Rav, and the Almighty should be in his assistance. It's a bracha. What did Rav say? Etzba Yisera Sheyesh Bo Etzem V'ein Bo Tziporen. The sixth digit that happens to have a bone in it without a fingernail, metame b'mago v'masa, v'einu metame b'oil, will communicate tuma only through touching and conveyance, but not through overshadow. Omar Rabo Babachana, Omar Yochanan, uksheino nisperes al gav hayad. This last point that in the sixth digit finger that has a bone without a fingernail, and that we say it doesn't have tumas oil, that is only in the event that sixth digit doesn't appear in the same row as the other fingers. It's not nisperes al gavayad, it's not counted along with the other fingers. However, if it were nisperes al gavayad, so even without the fingernail in it, it would be considered an aver and metame ba'oil. Kol metame medris v'chulei. Kol dechazi lemedris metame tome meis. Anything that's fit to be used as a medris, as it's designed for seating, a bed, a chair, and the like. So it's roi lemedris. It would be capable of being mekabel tumas meis. V'yeshem metame tome meis v'ein metame medris. There are things that are mekabel tumas meis and won't become a medris. La'asuye mai, what does this include? What is it that is not a medris but is a metame tome meis? La'asuye, examples of other vessels, se'ah v'tirkav, these are measuring vessels. The saw is a large measuring vessel, the tirkav is a bit smaller. Those, if a zav, let us say, would sit on them, so they would not become a medris. If they're under the same overshadow of a corpse, so they will be makabel tumas meis. Desanya, and we have the following source which explains why the difference between, let's say, a saw and a tirka versus other things that are subject to medris tuma. So we have a source, Desanya. This is a pasuk from Vayikra Perek Tezvav, pasuk Vav, and it speaks about a vessel that a zav sits on, and it says Vayoshev al hakli. If a zav sits on a vessel, so Yochol kofas zav yoshev aleihu, tirkav yoshev aleihu yehi tamei. Is it so that if a zav flipped over a sa'a, a measuring vessel that measures the size of a sa'a, or a tirkav, which is a half a sa'a in size. Just imagine him taking a barrel and flipping it over, a barrel that's used for measuring. And he sits on it. The zav sits on it. Will it become tomei? Tomei means as a medris. Tamalomar asher yeshav alof hazav. Mi shem yuchad liyeshiva. So, something that is designed for yeshiva, regarding that, we can say, Hayoshev ala kli, someone who sits on a kli that is designed for yeshiva, so he will become tamei. Yotzozeh, to the exclusion of the saw, the tirkav, She'omrim lo, if someone sits on it and happens to, let's say, need to measure something right now, and he comes along seeing someone sitting on the inverted saw, what will they say? Amod, get up, v'nasimachtenu, and let us use the barrel for measuring, for our purposes. So that, how do you establish something as being miyuchad yeshiva, reserved or designed for yeshiva? It is that kind of thing that if you're sitting on it, no one is going to tell you, hey, get up, I need it for something else. But if it's that kind, you're sitting on something, on that type of unit, that type of element, that someone may come along and say, hey, get up, I need it for something else, that shows me that it is not specific for sitting. And as such, if a Zav were to have sat on it, and then I come along and sit on it, so it won't communicate Tuma to a person, because it's not a, that kind of thing is not a medrash. It is true, Rashi points out, that if a Zav, let's say, sits on this inverted sa'ah barrel, the barrel will become tome, but not tome enough to metama a person. That's something that happens only if something is classified as a medras. In that case, that the Zav sat on the inverted measuring barrel, it becomes tome mago hazav. So things that a Zav touches become tome to a certain level, and that kind of thing would transfer tome only to food and drink, but not to other people. The Mishnah. Kol ha-roi lodun dine nefashos, roi lodun dine momenus. Anyone who is fit to serve as a judge in capital cases is fit to serve as a judge in monetary matters. V'yesh sheroi lodun dine momenus, v'eino roi lodun dine nefashos. And there are those that are fit to serve as judges in monetary matters, but not in capital cases. So you can see the diamond appears at the beginning of this Mishnah with the double underlined V'yesh, showing the same structure as the previous cases in the Mishnayos. As we go on, we have a statement made by Rabbi Yehuda, and we feature Rabbi Yehuda with a colored in diamond, colored in tip. Rabbi Yehuda will be pointing out that what our Mishnah is referring to or comes to include is what we'll see, a mamzer. So let's see how this operates by learning the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, la asuye mamzer. The statement in the Mishnah that said that someone is kosher l'dinei momenus and not l'nefashos, who is being referred to? What type of person is that? So Rav Yehuda tells us it comes to include a mamzer. A mamzer is a person born from an illicit type of intimacy. For example, the most common example might be the married woman that has relations with another man other than her husband. The child born from that is called a mamzer. So Rav Yehuda tells us that the Mishnah's intent by saying someone is fit to serve as a judge over monetary matters and not capital cases, that would refer to a mamzer. Tanino chado zimno. The Gemara now asks a question. The question lasts a couple of lines. We use a long question marking to show you the length of the question. The question basically is, this point has been taught already on another occasion. We have a Tanaic source that you find in Maseches Sanhedrin. It says, Hakol k'sherin lodun dinei momenus, v'ein hakol k'sherin lodun dinei nefashos. Everyone is fit to serve as a judge over money matters, but not everyone is fit to serve as a judge over capital cases. V'havinon bo, and we ask, la suye mai, who is included in this as kosher for momentous and not nefashos? V'omar Rav Yehuda, la suye mamzer, and lo and behold, Rav Yehuda says, on that Mishnah in Sanhedrin, we're coming to include a mamzer. So, as we look at things, we have two Mishnayos that basically tell me the same thing. With Rabbi Yehuda's comment that a mamzer is fit for dinei momenus and not fit for dinei nefashos. And the question is, what do I need two Mishnayos to tell me the same thing? The Gemara says, I have two Mishnayos. However, they're not both coming to include mamzer. Chada lasuye ger, v'chada lasuye mamzer. One Mishnah comes to include the ger as someone who is, the ger is a convert. he is fit to serve as a judge in momentous, in monetary matters, but not in capital cases. And the other Tanaic source is coming to include, as we said before, the Mamzer. At this point then, one can ask, what do I need to be taught both people through separate Mishnayos? Sometimes one could figure one by stating the other. You could figure one by stating what's why having two sources for each, for two separate sources, one for the Ger and one for the Mamzer. So the Gemara explains, Utsrichi, I need both sources. The Ashmin and Ger, had we been taught that a convert is fit to serve as a judge over Dine Momenis, Mishum Deroi Lovo Bakol, he's someone who is fit to marry into the nation of Israel. Avo Mamzer, the Enroi Lovo Bakol, a Mamzer is not entitled to marry another regular Jew. There are marital restrictions when you're dealing with a mamzer, so he's not called roi lovo bakohol. So as such, amolo, I would have thought that he's not fit to judge even dine momenis. Therefore, in addition to teaching me about the ger, I need to teach you about the mamzer, and I wouldn't not have been able to figure out the kashrus, the acceptability of a mamzer, by having taught the acceptability of a ger. And likewise, the flip around as well. The e ashmin and mamzer, had we had a source telling me about mamzer as being acceptable for dine momenis, I wouldn't have been able to figure out the ger, mishum de ka'osi mitipok shera. The mamzer comes from the union of people that were themselves kosher. They were acceptable. They were Jews. Just that that particular union was improper, but each one in and of themselves produced a kosher drop, so to speak. The man was a kosher man who made it, unfortunately he made it with the married woman, but the drop that came from him was kosher. Avoger de kosi mitipo psula, the convert who comes from idol worshipping parents, in other words, the drop that was responsible for his conception was a drop that was from idol worshippers. It's considered unfit. It's a drop that's posel. Amo lo. So maybe the ger is less qualified than the mamzer. Sricho, therefore, I have to tell you, in addition to the mamzer's acceptability as a dayan, as a judge for dine momenis, so too is a ger. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.